I'll also go as far as to really myself here on this podcast. And this clip might go viral, and I don't really care. Uh-huh. I say that once you've harmed a child, you belong underground.
How's that going to
you? Once you've harmed a child, you belong underground. It's simple as that. Okay? But
to me, like, losing weight, like, massive amounts of weight is one of the hardest things to do. It's right up there with, like, getting off crack, in my opinion.
I have a plan. Once I'm off probation, I can finally go out to Colorado and pick up some over-the-counter mushrooms. And I know people I've spoken with who've cured.
I can hear the comments now. Boogie, you're a horrible person.
I mean, that's the average comments. That's just what the comments are.
If this was a live show, it'd be a bunch of tomatoes.
Well, don't worry. My blood pressure's going to do it anyway. Here's something I've never really confessed. I mean, it took a lot of therapy for me to be able to be in a position where I'll admit what I'm about to admit. And I admitted to someone privately the other day, and I think I'm ready to admit it fully publicly. I purposely...
The Lol Cow Podcast.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Lol Cow Live. We got the boys here today, Boogie2988 and Wings Redemption, for a solo show. We haven't done that in a while, right? Correct,
yeah. By the way, I have been reading the rumors on Twitter since the last live stream, and I do want to make an announcement. I have, in fact, died.
Boogie, you know why your blood pressure is so bad?
I should be in the emergency room right now.
Okay.
Then stop yelling.
Seriously, calm down. Like, you could really kill yourself right now.
Let me do it. Fucking blood pressure. So I should be in a emergency room.
Look, I'm being.
Stop. You're going to have a heart attack.
So your face is red right now, Boogie. You should probably calm down.
No.
So you guys were correct. RIP Boogie in chat.
You know, the funny thing is, it is so hard to explain to people that don't have high blood pressure like us fat.
Yeah,
I'd like to test yours. I got to be honest with you.
You got a reader around? I'd like to see yours.
I bet. I'm sure it's looking great. If it's less than 150, I'll be shocked.
I'm 120 over 80 usually.
You really 120 over 80?
That's where I usually
really?
Am.
That's great. It's perfect.
That is how it is until it's not.
Yeah, I figured it's going to be one day I'm going to wake up and I'm just going to be fat and unhealthy.
Yeah, it's not one of those things that like...
it's not like that. You're talking like it's a light switch, but I don't think it this way. Because like I could slowly see my body degrading. Like, you know, my hip hurts a little bit more. You know, your leg starts to give out on you. Like that.
Right, yeah.
You start to get a little pain.
I would say for blood pressure, for me, it went from, you know, every 6 months going to the doctor and having just normal numbers, and then, woo, right through the roof. It was not gradual for me at all.
Yeah. So. Well, what I was talking about, like everybody said, you should have went right to the doctor. And if you do your blood pressure, I guess this is a safety thing. If you do your blood pressure, it's like 180 one night. Go to the hospital right away. Like it could be lights out. Because here's the thing. When you start having, like, problems with your blood pressure, like, you physically feel you're done. Like, 9 times out of 10, it's lights out permanently. So, but what, you know, we have it pretty regularly, and I'm pretty heavily medicated on that shit. Actually, started running today with my son. I run with him every 2 days now.
I'm so fat. Idea of running sucks.
Yeah, my knees are still good, though. At least as far as I know, I hurt them.
I'll tell you, when it comes to my blood pressure, one of the biggest issues I face is I also have an anxiety disorder. So mine can spike pretty hard, pretty quick, like it did on the live stream. That's definitely not my resting blood pressure.
What is it now? Because I know you're calm now.
That's a good question. It's probably going to be about 140 over 90, 160 over 90.
It's 140 over 90. It's probably lower than
mine. We'll do it. And while we're taking it.
Go get the gauge, Boogie. Do it on.
I got it in my hands. I got it right here. I left it here last night.
Should I do mine too? Because I forgot to take my medicine. Because
like Boogie, Boogie had scared because he was like cherry red in the face while he was yelling. I'm like, dog, this is about to have his triple bypass right here on stream.
It is fun to have let go last night and just like let myself be mad. I never do that. That's the maddest I've been in a long time. And it felt really, really good.
You got mad because somebody suggested you cut the grass.
I'm really against cutting the grass. That is not a thing I want to be doing anytime soon.
I could see that.
Here's what we need to do. We need to get you a lawnmower with an umbrella. Like one of those big Husqvarna lawnmowers and have an umbrella on it.
Can you put an air conditioner on it too? I could use that. That would be really good.
Well, if you really got some big scratch, you can get a tractor with like a lawnmower attachment.
Yeah. I mean, it's still really high right now. Here's 161 over 99. That's the number we're looking at today. So.
If we got a death pulled out there, make sure you put Boogie on it toward the top.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
I'd probably go higher. You'd probably put me higher than Wings.
I've always had
10 years on Wings, so that's the thing.
I've always had some high blood pressure, but this polycythemia stuff, it turns your blood to basically syrup because you have so many red blood cells, right? And we're not yet at the position where I need to start giving blood. What is it? What is it, Tommy?
186 over 25. I got to take my pills, dude.
Over 25?
Yeah.
Dude, your heart's
125.
Okay.
Yeah, 125. Hold on.
I was like,
got to go take my pills. It'll take
two. So, like,
oh my God. To the
layman that doesn't know a whole lot about blood pressure, what do the numbers actually mean? Like, what does the top and bottom number mean?
One of them is like the initial push, and the second one's the secondary push, I think. So it's like your heart goes thud, 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 thud. One of them's the thud and the other's the thud.
So like if he actually had like a 25, that means he probably has like a blocked valve or something in his heart.
There's definitely something not going on, right? Because the first number is like pushing really hard and the second number is pushing really low. And I will say I actually, after my bypass surgery, and I lost all that initial weight, I could not stay awake. And we went into the emergency room. And my blood pressure was 80 over 40. And they're like, I don't understand how you're conscious at all right now. I'm like, I don't either.
Would you have ketoacidosis going on, like acidic blood?
I'm not really sure. I was completely out of it. They had me on painkillers. They had me on oxys back then, dude. And the recovery for that surgery, they went on oxys for 3 weeks.
Did you
not? And number one, I do not like being altered very much. I'll do it because I need to because of anxiety, but I won't do it for fun. And I do not understand the enjoyment that people get from oxy or heroin. All I was unconscious. What is the joy in being unconscious at that point?
That's why I don't smoke. I have no problem with it. Do it all you want. But that's why I don't smoke it, because I just fall asleep. I mean, what's the fun?
I mean, I have my medical card. I had my medical card. I'm going to get it again at the end of March when I get off probation.
Nice.
But I only ever used it like very sporadically, and I only did edibles, and I only used it to sleep because I hate how I feel high. I don't like it at all. It's not enjoyable.
It's enjoyable, but it's enjoyable because I go to sleep.
I wish I could.
See, I've always had slightly high blood pressure. I think some of it's kind of just natural. I just run high, and then on top of that, I didn't take care of myself the last 5 years.
Yeah, yours is scary high. That's really surprising.
They thought it was an adrenal gland, but it turned out not to be it. It's probably my sleep apnea, to be honest.
You really downplayed your heart problems, and you like had to have surgery and everything, right?
Yeah, I had a stent put in just before the show started.
Yeah, you really, really downplayed it, man. That's not a good place to be.
I don't really particularly like talking about my health problems like YouTube goofballs.
Well, good. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to talk all about Tommy. Everybody, let's get into Tommy's health problems. Tommy, what's it like having a micro penis?
Tommy, wouldn't quitting smoking benefit you at this point?
I have quit smoking.
Hey, Jordy, wouldn't quitting Wendy's chili benefit us?
Yeah,
Come on, man.
I understand. But I'm actively trying to lose weight here. I'm not round.
Oh yeah, and you're successful. Well, how many pounds are you
cigarettes.
Down?
I'm not smoking cigarettes.
I'm actually at a wall right now. I'm still at 398. But like that's what happens. Like I'm not doing. I that's why I've been exercising a lot lately, because I'm trying to push through a wall. You're at a wall at like almost 400 pounds. Fat boy, quit lying. It happens, dude. I remember when I first got weight loss surgery. I went from like 472 down to like 380, like in the span of like 2.5 months. And then I just sat at 380, eating 400 calories a day for a month.
When you hit that wall, man, bypass surgery did the same thing for me. And when I hit the stupid wall, man, like I sat there for like a week, 2 weeks, and I'm just like, you know what I want to do?
You know what they should do? They should never give anybody bypass surgeries unless they've lost the 100. They've shown the discipline to lose 100 pounds on their own first.
They actually did make me do that. I was 580 at my biggest, right?
Yeah, but you guys still eat fast food.
590?
I don't eat fast food anymore, and I still...
Well, here's something I've never really confessed. And it took a lot of therapy for me to be able to be in a position where I'll admit what I'm about to admit. And I admitted to someone privately the other day, and I think I'm ready to admit it fully publicly. But I purposely undid my surgery. It wasn't a conscious choice really at the time.
Did you want to eat more?
Well, so I got my surgery in part because I wanted to try to save my marriage as well as my life, right? And then I got divorced. And that divorce, publicly, we kept it, you know, pretty private.
Yeah, you're pretty civil about that whole thing.
Right. But it wasn't the most fun thing to go through a divorce, even the best divorce, right?
Yeah, it's the worst.
And so I thought to myself, I don't want to live longer. What did I do? I just bought myself more time on this earth being miserable. I'm never going to date again. I'm never going to meet anybody. I'm never going to do any of this stuff. I'm just a miserable, broken person. My career is dying. And so I literally had to work really hard to undo that surgery. The very first thing I did was go back to regular soda. People don't know that. But it, like 3 months, 4 months later, I went to Slim Chickens with this girl I was seeing. And she ordered a soda, and I reached right over and grabbed that soda and took a sip of it. And I was like, yep, I can get this in my body. And that's how I undid it. And I also had a friend who got bypass surgery that was kind of forced on his parents back in the late 90s, early 2000s. Well,
that's and what it was new.
He undid it by melting strawberry and Neapolitan ice cream and drinking it.
So let me get this straight with the undoing it. It's not a surgical procedure. You can just teach yourself to stuff your gut again.
Your stomach stretches out a little bit, like the shape of your stomach stretches.
That's so terrible.
Like the goal of the surgery is to allow yourself to feel more full quicker and release the right hormones to make yourself feel more full quicker, so you don't want to eat less, right? So I got full and I forced myself to keep eating.
See, Dad,
to purposely undo
sick.
The surgery.
I can't believe I would do that.
Yeah, and I would have told you at the time, I'm not doing that. I would never do that. This is just how I am. Da, 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 da. But through, you know, therapy and taking the time to like really look back at it, I realized that I was trying to like hurt myself. I was wanting to hurt myself. You know, I was in a bad place. The last thing I wanted to do was live longer.
You guys, Jordy, like, you don't. I don't failures the both.
You're looking at me in here. I'm about to admit something that people are going to call bullshit. I haven't undone my surgery yet.
I knew, but if it makes you feel any better, even though I didn't know you, not so much Boogie, because I didn't know Boogie at all, but I felt like I knew you better by watching your clips. I knew you weren't going to, the surgery wasn't going to help. I figured you'd lose 100 pounds, and that was about it, and you go right back the way it was. That's what I
thought. Well, the surgery still, like Jordy just said, I haven't undone the surgery in regards that I'm still 400 pounds, and I used to be 587 or whatever. Mm. So at the end of the day, like the surgery did its job. It's kept me... Small, here we are. Yeah.
It's you and you guys.
But Jordy, where's your state with your surgery? Where are you at?
I still can only eat like a handful of food. Like if I try, I can eat like a chicken tender and a half, right?
Were you just eating 10 times a day like me?
No, I drink a lot of soda. Like I drink
regular soda?
Regular soda. Like I would, soda's what
you put drink the regular weight back on. Like if I do drink soda, it's like it's always like caffeine free.
Yeah. I mean, I'm drinking like Mountain Dew Zero right now on camera, and it's zero sugar, zero calories. And I'm doing it for the caffeine. Yeah. Why not? Drink that.
Do me a favor, Boogie.
What?
Look behind you, and there's like a row of Mountain Dew bottles with different volumes.
I did a video on my channel. I reviewed the dews. Okay.
I mean, those Mountain Dew bottles are in various levels of volume.
That's because I reviewed the dues for a YouTube video. That's a YouTube video.
Like, oh, I get sponsored by Mountain Dew. No, you don't. You can't.
That's a stupid thing with the EDP thing. We literally spent $250. Mike spent $250 on McDonald's, and it sat in a corner for 2 hours while we did the sketches and the other things we were doing. Then it was time for the set-down mukbang. The food was cold and disgusting. We had to take like four or five bites of it for the video, but nobody ate any of that food. People are so stupid. I'm not going to eat a four-hour-old Big Mac.
Hold on a second. Mike Klum sent you down to do a mukbang for reals? Did he set the whole thing up?
No, it's just all props. It's all props.
But you didn't do the mukbang for real?
No, because he wanted footage of us eating a burger, so we chewed on a cold burger and spit it out.
Sounds like Mike Klum didn't plan right, because you could have went to McDonald's and be like, yo, I need a row of Big Mac things.
He made an entire freaking video of you like being a worthless garbage can that's not able to take care of himself, and then he's giving you a mukbang. I mean, he's got enable you at the same moment for what?
Yeah,
news?
Of course. I mean, again, at the end of the day, they knew that we were not going to actually eat the food, right? Like, he knows.
I don't know. Like, I see you two guys. I figure you might do it. Call me crazy. You know?
I will be honest. I ate a couple of donuts, and they were very good. Eat a cold apple pie, and it was very good. Yes, Jordy.
Like, the thing is like, once you're labeled a whore, even if you're not, you're always going to be a whore. Like,
that's true. Mm. That's true.
Like, it's perception.
So you're saying
I shouldn't have sucked those
in college? Is that what you're saying?
No.
If you put Boogie next to a big thing, a Big Macs, even if you can't actually mukbang, people will believe it. Like, people
it's not like a stretch here. It's not like a conspiracy theory.
Right, right. But people don't understand. Like, when you live a sedentary lifestyle and you drink a lot of your calories and you don't do anything to take those calories off, they don't go anywhere.
That's true. I will say the reaction to that photo just goes to prove a theory that I've had for a really long time. Is just how much people hate fat people. Because here's a photo of me and EDP, right? A guy who literally sent pictures to a 16-year-old girl. Okay?
13.
And 13. I heard 16, but I don't know. Well, I didn't look that deeply into it.
No, there was two different ones. Right.
They look at that and they're like, man, that's a lot of cheeseburgers. Like, that's how much you hate fat people? That you're willing to look past the to be, criticize the cheeseburgers? Jesus Christ, people.
See, I thought I was looking at the worst buddy cop film of all time.
I was thinking, I got, it's funny you talk about those pictures came out. I was getting shit from my own crew. You believe with Boogie, he's trying to sabotage the podcast. I'm like,
no.
Huh? What are you talking about? There's a picture of him, like, sitting down eating food with EDP. Now, I remember you had told me that you were doing something with him, and I had to keep it fine. So I didn't even tell my producer, right?
Right.
And then I'm like, but wait a minute, like, I know he's doing a film, and he's like, yeah, he's doing a film, Mike Klum again. I'm like, so you know that, and you think there's something fishy here? Like, it's pretty obvious what he's here to do. He's going to, like, light the guy up.
Well, okay, that's not the only thing I did.
Let
me prepare people for the documentary, okay? Because my intent was to go there and unload on the guy. But Mike wanted to film a sketch, you know, because, like, a lot of people get mad when I say this, but I don't really care. If you look at my documentary and you can't tell that some of it's pretty obviously staged, then you might need to rewatch it.
I just like to know which parts so we can all, like, agree on it.
Like, you know? Obviously, the job interview is pretty obvious. The comedy club was a setup, obviously, right? What are the chances we were going to accidentally be filming in a comedy club and the comedian's not prepared for that? Come on.
Okay.
The job interview, obviously, even in the documentary, it says it's a mock interview, but it's obviously a mock interview. People are like, no, that's a very real job interview. You should have taken it more serious, right?
That was a
like,
obviously, part, it was funny.
And if you go watch literally any documentary, you know, they have little segments where they make it entertaining, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter. Anyway. We filmed a sketch, and people probably will not like that sketch very much. And they'll probably also take it very seriously. But I don't care, because I thought it was funny as shit. I read the script, and I'm like, yep, I'm all about it. Let's film the bit. And then the set-down part is the real part. And, of course, I lit him up. I'm like, why did you do this? What the fuck is wrong with you? I can't believe you did this shit. But also, and people are not going to like this, and I understand why, I tried to have a conversation with the guy, too. And I'm going to have a conversation.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Even if it's Adolf Hitler, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a conversation with the guy.
The
documentary's about him. What are you going to do? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like you're a kid toucher because you talk to a guy who's a kid. I don't get that. Like, it's like so the reporters, like, the reporter did an interview with him. I don't know. It doesn't make any sense to me.
And at the end of the day, I'll prepare people for this documentary. And Mike, of course, when you hear this, Mike, I'm sorry, buddy, but you shouldn't have leaked those photos if you want me to keep quiet, right?
Well, EDP leaked them, right?
Right, but he shouldn't have sent them to EDP, right? Like, you know what EDP is going to do with them. He's going to leak them, right? Like, of course. So at the end of the day, if you watch my documentary, how did that make me look, y'all? Did it humanize me? Did it make me look good? Did it make me look like a great person? Or did it call me on all of my shit?
Yeah. I'm starting to think he's f***ing with you. I gotta be honest with you. I'm sorry. It's a little too much of a coincidence for me.
Yeah,
you know, it might be a little hesitant. You know, in the future,
I mean, you know, honestly, I needed the money. I was young and I needed the money.
Well, you know, you told me that he was going to hire you, and you told me, you told me what was going on and to keep quiet. And so when I saw this, and the first thing I read, just because you sat across the street and because people were saying, like, why did you have to have dinner with him? Well, he's like, they're doing a movie.
Yeah, it's not dinner. It's a stage set.
Like, you're doing a movie. I mean, like, who cares? Like, where's the more appropriate place to do it to make Boogie Not a Creep, you know?
I couldn't get the hell out of there quick enough, honestly. Yeah.
Howard Stern used to talk to a guy from NAMBLA. You know, like the speaking part. Like, if there's any video you saying, yeah, I think I can understand where you're coming from there. I think you might be in a little trouble. I got to be honest with you. But if you're lecturing him,
I'll also go as far as really myself here on this podcast. And this clip might go viral, and I don't really care. Okay. I say that once you've harmed a child, you belong underground. 100%. Once you've harmed a child, you belong underground. You? Simple as that. Okay. But if you've not harmed a child, all I want for you is to stop doing what you're doing and get better. That's it. I think that if you are inclined to do it, what I want for you is not necessarily to be put on the ground. I want you to never do it and get better.
Dude,
that's what I want.
Can they come over your house and whip their d*** out and walk around your house?
Dude, like you can't give these people, you can't let these motherfuckers have hope. Because, like, here's the thing, man. He lost his YouTube channel. He lost his home. He lost two or three cars. He lost all these guns. He and all this shit. And then he does it again. Right?
Yeah.
And then he does it again.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that right there tells you that he's had success on it and he's going to continue to do it. So why even go with that hope shit? Right? You got to look at him what he is. He's a terminally ill, lonely dude that wants female attention.
He's a threat to children.
Yeah, he's a threat to children. He wants female attention.
I'll also go as far as to say that you might think I'm a dumb motherfucker, and I am, but his IQ has some serious issues. He is not.
I've never actually talked to this guy, but you said on the live show that he was doing well for himself, and you wouldn't elaborate on it.
It's just he's got work, but I don't want to send somebody at his work attacking him and stuff. You
right,
know?
Right. But does he? Right, like, he has a job. Yeah, Mama Max. Saying. He has a job.
Yeah, he's got a job. Okay. And it probably pays more than this podcast does. I can tell you that.
I wonder how Mama Max didn't catch up with him. You know,
because Mama Max was never actually about.
Oh, because Mama Max didn't actually give a shit. Mama Max is a scammer.
Yeah, I know. The whole thing was a big scam.
It's like, I look at most of these like channels. Like, was that Ross guy? Was his name? What, the guy who caught EDP the first time?
I don't remember.
Yeah, regardless, all of them. Skeeter Hansen. All of them suck. Like, all the channels are boring. They never actually get anything done. And all they're really doing is, like, meeting dudes in like, Walgreens and just yelling at them. It's, like, the same shit over and over and over again. Like,
And I will say, okay, so I've read some conflicting things about EDP. I've heard some people saying that they really had to bait him and really had to work at it and really had to wear him down and all this other shit. But at the end of the day, he did the thing, right?
And you're right. Yeah.
You broke the crime.
Yeah, he was entrapped,
right?
but it wasn't like the police, you know?
Right.
That just means he shouldn't, you know, like, if he's entrapped by the police, it just means, like, legally he should get off,
but
right?
But it doesn't
make him any less of a threat.
Right, you know? But these people that entrapped him, they basically gave him a license to be able to walk around the rest of his life without ever getting caught, right? Like, at the end of the day, because they botched it so poorly...
Yeah.
The police will never touch it. The FBI will never touch it because you botched it so poorly.
That's
instead
not
of
true,
actually
Boogie.
Having no, hold on, so. Hold on. This is my theory. You tell me I'm wrong when I'm done. Okay. But
enough.
I think because you made it YouTube comment, I have been told that they will not touch it because they don't know how much of it's real, how much of it's not real. They're going to wait for the next sting. And I've heard that that's why Chris Henson does it the way that he does, that they make sure it's all processed. The guy's in jail. The guy's been had his court date. That's when you get to see it on the TV, okay? If they did it beforehand, it could jeopardize that court
case. Investigation of the case or something like
that. Right. And so
Chris Hansen's made his fair share of screw-ups too.
Right.
I know, he's not exactly 100%.
But if you ever wanted EDP behind bars, you need to be mad at the people that entrapped him and did it so poorly that it's not actionable.
Yeah, because it's for views. It's not for
And here's why you're wrong. Here's why you're wrong,
Boogie.
Go ahead.
the reason you're wrong is he's going to fall again. Like, EDP is going to get hit again. Because, like, if he's been hit twice when he's in the public eye. You don't think 5 years from now somebody's going to message him and he's going to fall for it?
Oh, I can promise you. I can promise you nothing's going to happen in 5 years, because that he won't be here in 5 years. That dude's getting his health is...
Oh, you're right. He has he's on dialysis, health, right?
Yeah, 3 days a week, man. Like, he's not going to be here in 5 years.
You know, it's funny. Like, everybody tells us to get Cyrax on, which would probably be next to impossible. But a lot of our fans are about this particular topic that just keeps coming up. And it, probably because of views, you know. I'm not going to sit there and lie to anybody. But I did see something. I guess Cyrax got set up, right? Mm-hmm. And he got set up twice. This is why it relates to what Wings is saying. By the same person, right? And they asked him, when was the last time you talked to an underage girl? He said, I'm sorry. He says, it's the last time you called me? Never.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was, I don't get the exact thing, but he says, yeah. Like, last time I talked, okay, yeah, there was you, and there was you. It's so funny, and that guy is definitely probably a danger to kids too.
But, speaking of Cyrax, I'm trying to find this thing, because, like, this man is mentally ill.
First of all, he'd hang up in the first 5 minutes with me. I'm sorry, you call it Lolcow Podcast, Lolcow Live. Guess what? The Lolcow's like, I'm on a Lolcow and going on there. Look at EDP.
I mean, you know, one of the biggest complaints I had with the whole EDP thing is, like, you're platforming a predator. No, I ain't platforming anybody. TikTok's platforming somebody right now. Instagram's platforming people. So no, you can't get mad at me. And Mike Klum shooting a documentary with him is, okay, get mad at Mike Klum. I just appeared in the thing, right? I had no intention of promoting it, tweeting about it, any of that shit,
I don't think there's anything wrong with doing a documentary on this creep. I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
And you know,
shine a light on these guys. That's what I'm about. Don't let them hide in the shadows.
Put creeps on this podcast. I would love if this podcast became exposing creeps. Let's do it, because we have a very invigorated audience. They very much do not like creeps. We three are not even that creepy. I'm the creepiest among us, and I ain't even that creepy. Right?
Yeah.
So if we can get actual monsters, actual predators, actual garbage human beings on this podcast, so they are in the targeting hairs of this audience, then some real good could happen, right? Imagine Wings 007 person.
Like, I'm not going to sit there and lie to anybody. We'd be doing it for views. Don't act
that's the primary goal. I'm talking about the side effect. I would like to get rich.
Oh, you mean
I would like to get rich?
Not real that we can take credit for. What is this, Mama Max podcast?
But it would be cool if we could get, like, Wings 007 to go after actual people. Wouldn't that be neat? That'd be neat.
Take all his time away from all those funny videos he makes about Wings. I mean, thanks for screwing that up, Wings.
You actually enjoyed those videos?
I don't know. They're all the videos are kind of
a collage.
Yeah, to me they are. So I'm sure he made one funny one. The ones I watch Breaking Banquet, and I watch the Hoodlum guy.
Lummox.
The Hired Hoodlum.
Lummox.
Yeah, you know,
I don't know if I ever watched 007. I just assume I did.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of that, but you know who I do watch is I see a lot of DSP clips on my Twitter feed.
Mm-hmm. So
and
boring.
It's just so fun. But really? It's always the same thing over and over again. But it's just every time I watch Phil talk, it makes me cringe so bad, like way more than Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm ever could. It just makes my turn inside out.
Can you imagine, like, for the 50th time, right? Like, all right, like, you guys, I don't know Wings so much, but, well, no, yeah, you guys have been accused of e-begging, but he's just like, he doesn't do anything like cover it up, and it's always the same stuff, and he lectures his audience like they're a hockey team. You guys got to get more on the forecheck, and our power play's got to get better. And it's like, look, you know, I put the sweater on, and, you know, like, only $100. Like, what's going on? Am I doing something wrong? Is there, like who are you to talk to?
I was about to ask, did you see his Final Fantasy VII breakdowns?
No, I didn't.
Because a new Final Fantasy VII game pack came out, and Phil had this stupid, like, wig that he was supposed to be, like, Cloud, which is, like, the main character of the game.
Yesterday, I don't know what happened. So on launch day, right? Support was incredibly slow. And I was like, wow, so this is kind of disheartening. Should I keep playing Final Fantasy VII as much as I said I was going to, or should I cut back on it? Yesterday, It was literally the opposite. It was people came out in droves to support, and it was tips, it was super chats, like it was a great day. Yes, I wore the Cloud Strife wig yesterday, and yes, we will continue with this. If we hit the tier 2 goal of $100, I will put on the Cloud Strife wig again today. Okay? So you got to see me, and as you see, we have two new emotes in the chat.
And all right, I'm not putting on the wig.
Yeah, he didn't want to put the wig on because it was like $100 like push goal.
I didn't even see it. I knew it.
But he only made like $55, and like it's been terribly for his channel.
See, I watch Wings because he always said something funny. All right, like whether he was like welcome to band world, that was funny to me. I was saying that to my friends for months.
A band Star Destroyer 24, dude. I don't suck at World War II either. Shock Steve. All right. Shock Steve, here it is. I'm going to download Fortnite, Shock Steve. If I don't reach 520 subscribers within 2 hours, I'm permabanning you. Ban any variation of laughter in the chat. Ban that guy right there. Trying to make fun of my KD. You, dude. You come do this shit. New rule. Anybody that says League of Legends in any context in my chat is permabanned. Come with consistent streams, you Kiesel. Get banned. Lucky Series 7, welcome to ban world. If you're never going to donate, get the fuck out of here. What the fuck you want me to do, man? I had two teammates. I had one who was 0-15, another was 2-16. How the fuck am I not blaming teammates, Wager King? Get the fuck out of my chat. Get somebody ban him. Ban anybody that knows what I said. Keep banning. Ban more.
It's always the same thing with DSP. It's the same. Like, is it really funny in 2016 that he's bitching about not getting donations? That was funny in 2016.
My big thing with Phil is it's more of a curiosity than anything else, because this man clears $100,000 a year doing what he does, like with like 300.
He blows
viewers.
In all that stupid WWE
and like
game.
I don't understand. Like, he lives in a state that doesn't have like a state federal income tax. He makes $100,000+ a year. His wife works. They have one car, and he doesn't, in the state he lives in, isn't particularly a high, like, income state. Like it's not a state where, like, oh, this is, it's not Silicon Valley is what I'm trying to say, right? It's not, yeah. You got to make thousands of dollars just to exist.
I think they have high taxes over there, to be honest. He's in Seattle, right?
He's in the state of Washington. I don't know where he is in the state.
He's in the Antifa state. High taxes.
But regardless, it's like you should be doing well. Like if I made Phil's money, I would be driving a brand new Ford Raptor.
And you would have gave it to some other girl to blow on her kid.
I gave it. I'm married.
I definitely would have.
Boogie, what is the most expensive item you've ever bought besides?
For myself?
For yourself.
$21,000 Toyota Corolla.
That doesn't count.
That's a real. That doesn't count. That's like a real purchase, though.
I'm talking about like something stupid that you won't actually benefit your life.
Something dumb.
$250,000 house. Something stupid. $1,000 gaming PC or Xbox, PlayStation. $2,000 television. $2,000 television.
$2,000 television.
I got my PC cost $2,800, Boogie, and I don't consider that a splurge. It was before business.
I mean, Magic the Gathering, here's one. I spent $1,800 in my mind. I considered it an investment. I spent $1,800 on a case of Double Masters.
What is a Double Master?
So that was probably pretty. It's a Magic the Gathering collectible set.
Yeah. That's pretty stupid.
Okay, like how was it an investment?
Every stupid thing I ever bought's behind me. I went through a midlife crisis and bought a bunch of arcades, but they weren't real arcades anyway, so. And you got them. You got yours for free. I'm so jealous of you. You know.
Yeah, I wish I still had a good.
Do you still have the Xbox?
Because they've some pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Which Xbox? I have so many Xboxes.
I thought Xbox sent you like a custom one, like with your name on it.
Yeah, I still have that. And the coolest one I have is this Cuphead one behind me.
This one I think is super rare. If I ever get around to actually selling it, but it's got like Cuphead painted on the front. It had a Cuphead controller. I used the Cuphead controller. I probably really shouldn't. It should be in here on the shelf. But this Xbox, I think someone said there's like 100 of them. It's an Xbox Series, Xbox One S. So I think this will probably go for a pretty penny. There's a content creator by the name of Retro Rick. And he's been wanting to collaborate with me for a long time. Not because
Retro Rick or Retro Ralph?
Retro Rick. And at some point, I'm just going to take everything I own.
Mm-hmm.
And all this gaming stuff that I don't use and just take it to Rick and let him sell it for me and like sell it to him and let him make a profit off of me because he's just a good man.
We're talking about Conway Arkansas, right?
Conway, Arkansas. If you guys don't know about Retro Rick, he is one of the nicest YouTubers I've ever met. And Connor, feel free to cut this if you think people won't like it. But one time I went to a convention with him, we had like a creator dinner afterwards, and there was like 18 people there. And I wanted to leave early because my social battery was running low. So I called over the waitress and I'm like, hey, can I pay for my meal? And she leans over and she's like, oh, it's already been taken care of, sir. And we're all looking around. I'm like, do you guys know somebody paid for dinner? And like, yeah. And I'm like, who did that? Nobody would volunteer, right? So 5 minutes later, that waitress kneels down next to Rick and is like, so sir, since you spent like $500, we wanted to give you this gift certificate. So if you guys want to come back later. And he goes, no. Shh. That dude was so kind. He bought like 20 people dinner.
He bought 20 people there for $500?
I thought you were going to say she blew him or something.
I don't know how much it was. It might have been $2,000. I'm just making up the number.
$2,000 makes more sense. But I'm like,
phew. Yeah.
Because like, I was thinking, what's the most expensive dinner I ever bought? Mine was like $240.
I mean, it wasn't like it's Ruth's Chris here, you know. We're not eating like a fancy five-star place. It was like some German place, you know. Probably $20 to $40 per person, but still doesn't matter. I mean, who does that? I've never done that. I've had real money, you know? I've had like real money, and I've never wanted to do that.
My very first YouTube paycheck was like $21,000. And I took
your very first one?
My very first one. Because let me give some context. Machinima had to back pay us 3 months. So it was literally 3 months worth of paychecks that were like $7,000 a month. So it was like $21,000 they paid me on my very first like YouTube paycheck. And I took my entire family out to Yamato's, which is like this Japanese hibachi steakhouse. And I paid for everybody. It was like $250.
How much was it?
It was like $250.
That's not bad. For a big check like that?
Yeah. I think that's the most expensive dinner I've ever bought.
$250? That's not that bad. I think I've spent more than that. I know, but only special occasions for family and stuff like that.
You know, on my first time around when I was making money off the internet, I bought all the people that had given me food back when I was homeless. I bought them dinner all the time, right? Let's go out, eat at the buffet. Let's go out, eat this. But, you know, after I ran out of internet money the first time, those people stopped buying me. And I was like, oh, I thought we were just in this like
forever. Yeah, because you're not worth helping.
You're not getting juiced right. anymore.
and so this second time through, the people that stuck with me, like, you know, my roommate, I kept buying them shit. I'll buy them until the end of time. But I was way more careful the second time. And I have a fun story. One time I went to L.A. with Kid Behind a Camera, McJug Nuggets, and Lance Stewart. And we're all hanging out. Yeah. And we all go to like 5-6 different dinners, right? And the way it's normally done in that circle is somebody pays for the whole dinner, and then, you know, somebody picks up the next one, somebody else picks up the next one. And of course, this is when I'm starting to go broke, right? 2019. And so like the first place we eat is like this cheap little dive overnight place, you know, diner. And I'm like, I reach for the check. Jesse gets it before I do. I'm like, all right, well, I'll get the next one.
Jesse's a multi-millionaire. He can handle it.
Right. So the next one, we eat in a much more expensive place, and I'm like reluctant to grab it, but I'm like, it might get more expensive, might get less. Hopefully I'll get the next one. Michael grabs that one, okay? So then we go somewhere else, and I'm like, oh, this is the one. This is affordable. I got this one. Lance Stewart pays for it by getting up and paying for it without telling anybody. So the final place we eat in L.A., is this place so nice we had to bribe the guy to get in because Michael was wearing shorts. That's how nice this place is. Jesus. And we go in, and that's the night Lance Stewart decides to drink for some reason. Probably, and so now we're not just paying for food, we're paying for alcohol. Yeah.
How much was it?
And it was on like $600-$700. Oh, well, thank God. But it's still, that was way out of my league at the time.
I'm setting you up so I can get splurged at the real nice place.
And I'm like looking at these millionaires. I'm like, I can't believe you guys stuck me with this one.
Probably did it on purpose.
I'm sure they did. Probably. But
you know what they do for like hazing for like these professional soccer players over here in Europe?
What?
They take the rookies. The guys aren't making any money. And they take them like the whole team will go out and they'll just leave the kid with the check.
That's so wrong.
I know, it's terrible. It probably probably eats like three of his checks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like 24 guys on a soccer team.
We went to this hibachi place in LA with at the Billionaire's Bash with Alki David, and Alki David was paying. But like, I was a country boy out of his element. Like, they handed me a menu, and the menu on the front had it printed $250 and up. And it's like,
damn.
And the food sucked ass. Like, the whole food sucked ass. Like, I'd rather have like
It's probably good. It's probably good for you. You didn't know what.
No,
you
it, no was, it was. It was Japanese. It was literally fried rice and like teriyaki chicken, and like they if you ordered a Coke, they wouldn't give you like a fountain Coke. They would pour ice in a glass and pour like a bottle Coke in the ice, and they were $8 a piece. Oh. So every time you ordered a refill, $8. You know, damn. And then at the dessert was a fish flavored sherbet ice cream.
Fish flavored. Yeah, that sounds like you're right. I take that back.
It was that sounds awful. Terrible. And the bill,
I bet.
The bill was like $4,000 or something like that because he had took all of us out.
Here's a ketchup flavored banana. Give me
ketchup flavored. Tommy, you're over in Europe. What's the best food you've had? Period in life. What's the best movie?
It's not in Europe. I think because I have I'm like my mother. I probably have this very slight shelf, although I've had the injections before. It hasn't killed me. So I think that I have a very, very slight shellfish allergy. So the best food that I can think of is anything lobster that like blows my mind. I actually, if I eat it, I actually feel a little high. Right.
Oh.
So like, yeah, you're supposed to tell, I forget the type of injection you get. You're supposed to tell the doctor if you have a shellfish allergy. I forget what it is. They always ask you because if you take the shot and you have a shellfish, it'll kill you, right? I forget exactly what it was. Maybe it's for when they put you under or they give you something. I can't remember exactly what it was. But I always tell them that my mother has a shellfish allergy. And they do the test and I never pop for it. But when I eat lobster, it's like the best high I can possibly. It's like
delicious.
But you're high, but you're not. You know what I mean? And you're completely functional. So I have to say that lobster, and if that butter's made correctly, there's nothing better on earth. And it's not even that bad for you. Mm. Yeah, Jordy, the butter's probably the worst thing for you.
Jordy, you're not a lobster fan? Is that what I'm getting?
I don't eat seafood. I don't like the texture.
I don't eat seafood.
I hate the texture. It's not about the texture.
Who cares about the texture? It tastes great, you nutshot. Nah. It doesn't feel like pizza.
Nah, the best food I've ever had was there's a place right here in Hemingway, South Carolina. It's called It's called Scott's
this
Barbecue.
Isn't a Rice this isn't a Rice Krispie treat.
Which I don't actually do sweets. Like, I do soda. Soda's usually the biggest sweet I go for. And I'm like,
that's the sweetest thing I can get. Nice steak.
What I would, this is a great steak. Oh, boy, this is gross. What I wouldn't do for a Slim Jim, you know?
What was the best meal you've had? What you said, best food?
There's a place here in Hemingway, South Carolina called Scott's Barbecue. You should look them up. They're world renowned. And that is the best food I've probably ever eaten.
You're such a hillbilly, you know that?
I live in a flatland, motherfucker.
You're a hillbilly.
Oh, man. Connor, throw up. Hillbillies. Connor, throw up the Scott's Barbecue place. Good God, I can't believe you ate there. You get tetanus driving by it.
Oh, dude, man. It is
oh,
old.
Oh, really?
It
is for hillbilly. So no, it is for
it's
like
old
like
school.
Rednecks
like
and hillbillies.
It's a family owned organization. They go and they cut like oak wood trees down to fire the pigs up. They take these old truck axles and they have their own custom like barbecue grill, and they slow roast these pigs and they make their own custom barbecue sauce. And they don't take debit cards. You got to pay cash. They don't take them. It's that old school of that place. Like it's just
you got to pay cash around here. We don't trust them plastic things. That's what those Yankees use. We don't do that here. So.
They just don't. Like it's just an old school family restaurant. But it is the best barbecue you've ever had in your life.
I've had some pretty good barbecue. The stuff we had down in Houston with Kid Behind the Camera. Did y'all see what we got down there?
You Southerners are so weird with barbecues because I was in the Army and there's tons of Southerners in the Army. I knew this guy. He was from the Panhandle in Florida. And I guess I know that you guys probably don't consider that South, but that's like I think it's probably the beginning of the end of the South. He used to in the winter, right? He would get just like that Chris Rock Saturday Night Live thing in the winter, go out and barbecue in the middle of the snow in Germany. He's like, gotta have his barbecue. I've never seen anything like it. Like he barbecues in the summer, not in my house.
I have like a weird food thing, and it's really developed in the last 7 years or so. But I have like,
no, I think it's been your whole life.
No, this particular, I like to eat the same thing over and over and over again now, and yeah, like it's never been like that. I used to have like a ton of variety. But right now it's stir fry. We're making a lot of stir fried home. Sometimes
I thought you were about to say Marco's pizza.
No, man. You know, it's so funny because that was like back in the day when I was getting chewed up by Reddit. They'd be like, "Oh, Boogie ordered Marco pizza. Marco pizza, dude. I'm a Papa John's guy if I'm anything." And then once Domino's got better, Domino's so good. But if I'm gonna actually eat pizza, you know where I get it from? There's a place called Gusano's here in town, and it's Chicago style deep dish, and it's pricey. Yeah. But, you know, I can't eat a lot of pizza, so I'd rather have good quality pizza. It's so
I'm about to kill yourself. I'm going to say something fat. People are going to take my fat car for me, but New York style pizza sucks.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I love it.
Pizza sucks.
Yeah, nothing.
I love it. I love it.
You go, if you go, down to like South Jersey, the pizza sucks. And so you guys have no idea what it tastes like.
Yeah, my guess is you're talking.
You can literally leave Manhattan.
Dog, I've ate New York style pizza in New York.
You go.
No, you have. You ate. What you eat at Sbarro's there? Did you eat at Sbarro's?
I believe him. I believe him because you don't know what pizza tastes like because you're eating that cardboard, goddamn, in Arkansas or South Carolina or wherever the you're from. That pizza sucks. Sucks. It's not even pizza. You have no. Grease balls down there. No. How are you going to get pizza anyway?
Dude, Chicago-style pizza is superior.
Chicago-style is superior, but New York is still amazing.
But you have no Italians down there. So you get some Chinaman making your pizza. Get the f*** out of here. You don't know nothing about pizza. And I don't want to hear it.
You know, they say it's a lot about New York water having something to do with it, but I would like to have Chicago-style pizza with New York water.
It's not. I have a... I don't want
to, I just don't like New York. It's really thin. You're supposed to fold it. They don't have hardly any sauce in it.
No, then you got shit. You got shit. Absolute shit. They have tons of sauce. It's sloppy as
fuck.
You don't know nothing.
You don't know nothing. The pizza I got was right outside of the Met Stadium.
Yeah, because it's that's probably trash. That's probably trash. Shea Stadium. Yeah,
probably. City Field.
You gotta go to a, like look in New York, New Jersey area. You have local pizza shops, and I'll tell you exactly why. I have a cousin. I'm not gonna say who he is because he's semi famous. He went to the culinary school, and what he told he studied food, and what he told is Italians cook local, right? So the ingredients they have, that's why deep dish is different than Boston, is different than Manhattan, right? Or different than New York City, right? So all the ingredients now. Pizza, the recipe is from Italy, right? But the ingredients are local, which makes it something completely different. I don't know if you've ever heard about pizza in Italy, but it's like nothing, like it doesn't even match what we grew up with. I grew up with, because you guys eat. Here's the rule. Up north, pizza's good. Down south, the Mexican food's good. You go up north, Mexican food sucks. You go down south, the pizza sucks. You don't know anything about pizza. I grew up 30 minutes from Manhattan. You guys don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, I believe you because, like, I wouldn't trust a New Yorker to cook my barbecue.
Probably right there.
He probably was smart.
No, because when I was in the Army, all those guys like Billy Bob, he took care of the barbecue. Or the black guys, they were really good at it too.
Yeah, that Rose's barbecue it's a black family. Like, oh man, it's such a good barbecue.
Yeah. The guy I was talking to, he's a black guy living next door.
Can I risk being racist for a minute?
Sure. Please.
I know you guys love it every time I do, right? You know, it's interesting that I did a little bit of research when I was younger. I could be wrong. A lot of things I was taught and I learned when I was growing up younger, it turned out to be wrong. But African-American people have been very good at food. And it's so weird that we associate fried chicken with black people or we associate watermelon with black people. So I looked into it. And the reason we associate watermelon with black people in the United States is because once they were granted freedom... one of the things they would do was grow crops and sell those crops as a way to survive. And they were pretty good at growing watermelon. And here's the thing. Black people do like watermelon, but everybody likes watermelon, right? So people would buy watermelon from human beings, right? And so it was so common to see black people selling watermelon, which was this awesome cash crop that they could sell that everybody liked. We began to associate black people not with eating it, but by growing it and selling it. That was the connection. Oh. The other one
was
an
amazing story, Boogie. I thought it was hereditary. No.
the other thing was fried chicken became the like a staple of slave culture because we would give them their own chicken coops, and that would be you would eat the eggs in the breakfast, and sometimes you would eat the chickens as a treat, and like that's how a lot of plantation owners maintained their slaves populations was by giving them chicken coops.
I just thought it tastes good.
Well, that's the thing. It's so stupid that we associate these delicious foods with an ethnic group. It's nonsensical.
Oh, who cares?
When I see Wings, like, yeah, black people make good barbecue. Yeah, of course they do. Black people make good everything.
No, they're southern black people. Black southern people black I grew people, up okay. with can't make shit.
I did have a black person made me chitlins once.
Chitlins suck.
Even though she was a very good cook, even though she was very good at what she did, Ma Sally made me chitlins, and it was disgusting. The texture was bad. The flavor was bad. Everything was bad.
What's that texture? I don't get the texture thing.
Well, chitlins are basically like the intestines of the pig, but like you split it down the middle, and you cut it in sections, and like it smells horrendous when it's cooking. You boil it.
Yeah. Of course it is. Yeah.
And like you eat it with hot sauce. It's ridiculous. It's terrible.
Tommy, let me explain the texture thing to you. Okay, you ever eat a chicken leg?
Yeah, of course.
Do you like the meat of the chicken leg?
Yeah.
Do you like the gristle of a chicken leg?
Yeah.
What, you like to eat the chewy knobs on the end, the gristles?
Oh, no, it's gross. Oh,
yeah. Because you're a texture guy. Because you're a texture guy.
If they taste, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, it's pretty identical.
Maybe you're right.
I don't eat like dark meat.
If it tastes, I'm a fucking, if it tastes good, I'll eat it. So I'm not sure. Maybe you're right. I don't know. Texture.
Here's the real thing.
I wouldn't eat sushi for years, though. You know, like, because it's such a stupid thing to do. Like, it looked weird. So I started dating this German girl who I ended up marrying. What a mistake that was. I only ate it because I could tell. She's like, you want to go out for sushi? And I'm like, ugh. I retched, right? Yeah. Like, oh my God. But I knew, like, because this is like all the hipster thing to do. She would think I was kind of a dork if I didn't go, or like, oh God, he's hung up about sushi. What a uptight American, you know? So I suffered it, but I suffered through it, but I ended up really liking it. And we have it usually like once a month now, you know? So the texture, the way it looked turned me off. It looked like it, because they always used to say like, it's raw fish, it's raw fish, it's raw fish. But isn't shrimp kind of like raw fish? There's a lot of, no, I guess that's not raw fish. I guess you have to cook that first. But that's when I realized it's just kind of like shrimp. Tastes great. I love sushi.
Yeah, sushi's amazing. Sushi's badass. Hey, look, we can talk about food for 1,000 hours, but we are kind of a drama podcast, so we should talk a little bit about drama. And I wanted to talk about Rooster Teeth shutting down. Did you guys hear about this?
Is that drama, really? I mean, like, that's pretty much...
It kind of is, because of everything that surrounds it. I mean, Rooster Teeth didn't just shut down because they got boring. It's because of the abuse allegations. And that's drama to me. You know, in 2022,
I want to say this is like the fifth time in the last 6 years that they have shut down over something I've heard about them shutting down.
Yeah, well, they've had to shut down piece by piece by piece. Like, after this, the Roost podcast will continue. That's still going to happen. You guys got to remember, like, this was the golden boy of YouTube. Like, they were, YouTube flew them everywhere. Bernie Burns, Ashley, all these people. Like, there's so many household names over at Rooster Teeth. And then that's when they found out that there was some really not great stuff going on behind the scenes. And I don't think like Bernie or any of those people were involved in it. It was like people lower down in the totem pole. I think this is a company that got crushed by cancel culture. I think this is a company that got crushed by these abuse allegations and stuff. And it's kind of interesting because I've never looked that deep into it, but I've never seen like whenever there's like real proof, you know, like Blizzard style proof. It's pretty much everywhere. It's never really been everywhere with Rooster Teeth. But I do know in 2022, they did make a statement of apology for like hateful and hurtful conduct. But I'm curious, Tommy, what do you know about
that? I don't believe any of these people.
You know?
Like, I can't, like abuse. This is like a new trend. Maybe because it's bullshit. Maybe somebody got yelled at. Go to work. I mean, I don't know the allegations either. And clearly you don't as well. But when I hear like young people talking about like toxic environments, and they explain it to me, it sounds like work. It sounds like working in a corporation. It sounds like, you know, you yelled at or it just, I just feel like it's a bunch of snowflakes a lot of times.
Yeah, like with Blizzard.
No, I don't think anybody should be beaten. I don't think anybody, there's certainly a line to be drawn. But like, like every time I hear one of these allegations and like, oh, wow, that's really crazy. And I look into it. And I don't know if that's the case here. I haven't looked into it. You didn't either. And you brought it up.
No, right.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But every time I hear it, it's like, well, you know, I was having a hard time at home. And my boss said that I had my thing in and I turned it in and yelled at me. And like, really? like I can't like I spent 10 years getting yelled at. You know, like, I don't.
I used to work in the Hyper building, and I had this boss. I don't know where he was from, but I'm going to do the accent anyway. So this is, it can't be racist because I don't even know where he was from. But he would like call me into his office every once in a while, and he would remind me that Arkansas is a right to work state or right to fire state, I guess. Yeah. And so he would be like, hey, Steven, were you late today? I'm like, yeah, I was like 3 minutes late. I'm really sorry.
I have the right to fire you.
And he's like, I have the right to fire you for any reason. You show up late, I fire you. You show up early, I fire you.
By the way,
I can fire you because I don't like your shirt. I don't like the shirt you're wearing. Was he? I don't know. Maybe he was. But I, his name was Hafed.
Dude,
and,
I would look at that motherfucker. Be this like, Hafed, you know when shit hits the fan, I have the right to quit too in that same directory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So shut the fuck up. Yeah.
I would say to him all the time, like, well, are you firing me or should I go to my desk? He's like, you go to your desk, but I can fire you later. I'm like, all right, man, enjoy. Like, clearly this is getting you off to some degree to like have the ability to fire students who are for student work.
I got everything under control. These guys, they're very afraid of me.
But I mean, like, it's, you know, you got to admit, Tommy, sometimes it clearly crosses the line. Like, you remember, Blizzard stuff, but the Blizzard stuff, you remember they were stealing their milk out of the refrigerator? Yeah, there was a Cosby room. Like, they were roofing people. Like, girl killed like, herself during a work convention.
Yeah, but just getting and I never got any details. And I also remember the Cosby room thing, right? Oh, my, they got a Cosby room. So they kind of try to play it off like they were joking around. About Bill Cosby, like drugging girls, and it turns out the Cosby room existed long before anybody knew about the charges.
So
like, to me, they threw the Cosby to get one more point. The girl that killed herself, you know, I gotta be honest, I don't know anything that happened. All I know is she killed herself. You know what, etiquette did too. Keen gets blamed for it, even though he had a hypothetical conversation that had absolutely
but it would be pretty different
to do it, with his
it would be pretty, you know? Different if Etika did it at Keem's house, right? Like, if you do it here, you got a Blizzard work convention.
It'd be different if he said, you know, I had this conversation with Keemstar 3 months ago and it hurt my feelings, and by the way, bye. Yeah, I guess. Even that wouldn't have been Keem's fault, because, you know, like you still got to be pretty mentally ill. I've been abused by Keem too. You know, I mean, all three of us have.
but at the end of the day, I don't know. I like the drama aspect of the show, but I do just like hanging out and bullshit with you guys. Absolutely. And I hope there's an audience that likes it. I've often said, and guys, if you made it this far into it, I want to know your comment about this. But we've often said that maybe these set downs go into members only for the people that want to pay for them. If you don't like them, You don't have to watch them, right? We'll put them behind members only.
I can hear the comments now. Boogie, you're a horrible person. Kill yourself.
I mean, that's the average comments. That's just what the comments are.
If this was a live show,
don't worry, my blood pressure's gonna do it anyway. The blood pressure's got it taken care of. If you want me to kill myself, just wait. I've already done it with cheeseburgers. Now we just have to wait for the results.
Yes, yes, yes. Wouldn't it be funny if you got really healthy and that cancer took a turn for the worse?
Dude, I have a friend that I follow, and it breaks my heart, because when I first started to try to lose weight back in like 2011 or so, this was 2018, I'm sorry. I was going to get the weight loss surgery. This guy got so motivated. He was like 600 pounds. He lost everything. He's 165 pounds now. He's in great shape. He goes to the gym 4 times a week. And as soon as he got in shape, he went blind.
Oh,
do you know what happened to my producer?
No.
He was getting overrated. He's a former high school football player. I guess things didn't go too good for him after. Or he wasn't, you know, I guess things weren't happening, but he got really overweight. So he says, you know what? I know what to do. I've been in shape before. I'm going to run. I'm going to run my heart's content. And he got out. And he ran, and he got a blood clot, and he took his leg off.
I just think it's so...
he works with me now. Matt Pitt, everybody.
Yeah, I just think it's... Like, man, you beat weight loss. Like, to me, like, losing weight, like, massive amounts of weight is one of the hardest things to do. It's right up there with, like, getting off crack cocaine, in my opinion.
And how do you know?
My brother is a crackhead.
Oh, okay.
And to do that, to go from 600 pounds to like lose like 2 or 3 people of weight, and then your ocular nerve, something happens with it behind your eyes and you just go blind. That has to suck ass.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Just imagine that, though. But you say you lost all the weight and you're good, you're running, you're like Shaytards, right? Like you're just having a great time.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then triple bypass heart attack. That blood pressure caught up with you.
I mean, that kind of thing happens. You know, there are fitness influencers that got hit by buses, y'all. I mean, here's the thing about life. You may criticize me and Jordy for what we've done, and you probably should. But at the end of the day, nobody's getting out of it alive. Not Richard Simmons, not anybody else.
Why put a pink lung in the ground, honestly, gentlemen?
You
put a pink lung in the ground, it's like you haven't smoked enough cigarettes, you haven't had enough good food, you haven't lived. You feel like a virgin, you know?
I would have liked to have lived my life where, you know, like I had a higher quality of life, you know, like been a healthier person and enjoyed my life and done a lot of things in moderation. That'd be great. But if I die at 50, which, you know, is possible, or I die at 70, it really ain't going to make that big of a difference. I've lived so much life and done so much stuff. I just wish it was higher quality. But the reality of it is, starve yourself if you want to. Exercise every day. Drink a lot of water. It still don't matter. You're going to be in the ground next to me, except I'm just going to need a double wide plot. That's the difference.
Let's do it. All right. We're about to end the podcast. I say we both do our blood pressure again.
Oh yeah, one more blood pressure.
I think we should get a picture of us, just both three of us fat for the next thumbnail.
Yeah,
see, I was fatter than we really are.
I was seeing we should all get January 6s. You, Tommy, and Keem, like when we get together and meet eventually, we should all have like the Trump shoes on and like a and, like a Beatles photo.
He named them January 6th.
No, that's their nickname. The January 6th.
That's the nickname. I was just saying, he got a real set of balls if we did that.
That's You're under the belief that my lymphedema allows me to wear human shoes, Jordy.
Would you wrap your legs or something?
I do wear compression socks and stuff. Yeah, I do wear compression socks. Yeah, this thing's tight as hell.
Because like my daddy's like that. It scares the fuck out. My daddy has lymphedema. And, like, his legs are, like, the size of boulders. They're just full of fluid, and he has to, like, go to the doctor and have them professionally wrapped and shit. He only could wear, like...
Mine used to be.
He only could wear, like, a certain type of sandal that he straps onto his feet.
Oh, God, mine's so high it errored out. I have lymphedema. I have to wear compression socks. And mine used to look like your dad's. I used to have to wear, like, giant oversized slippers, like clown shoes, just to be able to walk around and stuff. But after I got the bypass surgery... I was able to get it all like taken care of, and they're pretty healthy and they look pretty good right now.
My right leg,
they're still discolored as hell.
Still at 183, even though I took the medicine.
The top of my right foot does it every now and then, like wants to like swell up a little bit. And I'm like, every time I see it, I'm like, diet time. We're going for walks. I'm like, I'm not that fucking old yet.
By the way, I just want to end the podcast on this. You guys know, I don't know if I have a YouTube buddy I was in the army with called Dead on Dave. He actually lost all his weight. He was 500 pounds. And he lost it all through Pokemon Go and eating right. And now he weighs less than I do.
Amazing.
So you guys are full of shit and you could do something. Stop being such fat. Stop being fat.
Stop being fat.
That's simple.
I will tell you, I still can't afford Ozempic and all this other stuff. 167 over 99. So probably not a good place to be right now. I need to go take my pill. I will say, I do have a plan in March. At the end of March, I go... I'm not going to talk about what it is, but I do have a plan for this summer. And, you know, as much as I would like to be able to get on Ozempic or Zimbound or one of these other drugs, I've literally begged everybody I know to help me afford it, and they can't or they won't, and that's okay. I'm going to have to do it on my own, and I respect that. I get that. However, I have a plan, and I'm hoping to see some really solid results this summer. Maybe it'll work, maybe it won't, and I'll tell you what it is.
Super.
I'm a little nervous about it. But once I'm off probation, I can finally go out to Colorado and pick up some over-the-counter mushrooms. And I know people I've spoken with who've cured their alcoholism by microdosing shrooms and combining
them
with therapy.
Indian home with you, right? And have them live now, in your house.
Right. Now, it probably won't help. But hey, guess what? At least I'll be eating some sweet, delicious chocolate with some mushrooms in it. So it probably shouldn't be that big of a deal.
You also believe
should be a good time. Should be a good time.
100 grand to give you.
All right, everybody, that's all we got for you today on Locale Live from Boogie 2988 to Wings of Redemption. I'm Tommy C, signing off.
I promise you guys I'll try to die by the next episode.